it goes back quite a long way, of course, because after I was bombed out of Darwin, I got evacuated to Alice Springs. The army caught up with me down there, and I was away for 4 years. So basically, I didn't catch up with Miss Pink until I was discharged from the army in 1946. And that was, I was discharged back to Alice Springs. So that's where I sort of came into contact with Miss Pink. But as I was at that time a fairly junior public servant, I didn't have that much to do with her, although I knew about her, and I could see a lot of other people, and particularly district officers and things like that, being, I suppose it'd be harassed by Miss Pink concerning various things that went on in the town. But it was later that she sort of took on the care of an Aboriginal named Jockey Jim, and Jockey was married with a couple of kids, and he used to work for Miss Pink, and she used to carry the torch for him and everything, and so he benefited from her interest, but her interest, of course, started because of the fact that she did work out at a place called Thompson's Rock Hole out near the Granites before the rock hole went dry and she had to be brought into Alice Springs. So that's where she sort of started too. And after I got back to Alice, I was a cadet patrol officer and had a lot to do with Aboriginals in the area, not particularly with the person that she was interested in, but every now and then she'd have something to say, you know, about Jockey Jim, usually to the district officer or district welfare officer at the time. But it didn't worry me particularly at that particular time. But what happened then was there were three or four of us in Alice and all sort of return there from army service in various areas, and we decided that we couldn't keep on drinking too much, but we'd better do something about it. So one night at Lie Underdown's pub, we decided we'd start a paper for Alice Springs, and that was we called that the Dead Heart, and that worked for quite a while, but it meant that every Friday night we stayed sober instead of getting half mellow or something like that. At the same time, Frank Dwyer, the assistant administrator for the territory at the time, allocated Miss Pink a part of a Sydney Williams hut that stood on the area now that is covered mainly by the Alice Springs Council area. Alongside that hut was a tennis court. And outside the area of the hut was previously a citrus orchard. So the three or four of us who were tied up with the Dead Heart, we used to play tennis on this tennis court alongside Miss Pink's hut on a Sunday morning. Now, she used to, at that stage, she'd usually pick a few lemons off the trees, squeeze them, and then quite often on a Sunday morning, she'd invite us over to have a glass of lemon juice or a lemon drink sort of thing. And it was there that we were inside her hut, and I noticed then that she had a picture of a soldier in First World War uniform alongside her bed. That sort of struck a bit of a chord with me and thought, hello, she must have had some sort of affair or love affair or whatever in her early days. Didn't think much more about that until later on one morning, on Anzac Day, I got up, the alarm went off a bit early or something, and I got up to Anzac Hill. I was sitting on a rock up there waiting for the dawn, and I heard someone else coming up to the monument on top of the hill, and lo and behold, Miss Pink turns up and she puts a bunch of flowers onto the memorial. I didn't say anything, I didn't talk to her, I didn't say anything to her at all. But I realised then that she still sort of was carrying the torch for this man who obviously was killed in the First World War and didn't come back, and she was still, obviously she had one love in her life and that he was it, but that it was, it opened my eyes, I suppose, to a certain extent, to probably the frustration that she felt at that time, because I was a returned soldier and he wasn't. But we did have a sort of an affinity, I suppose, but I didn't have much to do with her. She, this Sidney Williams hut she had on a bit of land had an outside shower that she had to use. Didn't have a roof on it or anything like that. And she complained then about the pilots from Connellan Airways flying over the shower to see her in the shower. Well, of course, that was pretty ridiculous, because at 400 or 500 feet, they wouldn't see much in a shower recess. And also, at the time, they did fly over the town because they were using the town airstrip. So eventually, I think someone's convinced her that she had nothing to worry about from the pilots. So, but that was, I suppose, one of the first meetings I had with her.
Jockey Jim, I'm interested in knowing a little bit more about him. Do you remember much about Jockey Jim?
About Jockey Jim? No, I can't remember much about him, except he was fairly well looked after. He used to work for her and help her keep the area around her hut neat and tidy, and he used to do a bit of watering for her, I think. Because, she was, I suppose one would have to say slightly idiosyncratic or something like that. Because after she got this hut, which was authorised by Frank Dwyer, the assistant administrator, she planted a tree for him. And then you knew whether Frank Dwyer was in the good books or not, because one day she might water it, and if he was in the bad book, she wouldn't. So it was just part of Miss Pink's approach, you know, the way she... I felt that was more showing her some of her frustrations, but, you know, it was very hard to realise, because she was still used to dress all the time in about 1914's clothes, long skirts and sort of shirts right up to the neck and tied around post with scarves and that sort of thing, as well as wearing a hat all the time. So it was obvious she was still living in the past to a certain extent. Much later, because I got transferred from Alice Springs in 1953, didn't get back to Alice Springs again until 1961, as the Assistant Director of the Southern Division. And again, I bumped into Miss Pink, of course. She was still going, but she'd lost a lot of her fire by then. And I used to see her on irregular occasions, give her time in the office and let her come in and talk. Mainly she used to talk about social services and that sort of thing in those days, because by then the child endowment had been brought in, and this was payable to Aboriginals, and old age pensions would be brought in and that was paid to Aboriginals and that sort of thing. So it was those sort of things then that kept her mind occupied more than anything else.
So So this was when you arranged those regular half-hour meetings?
Yeah. Mm. But they were, I won't say regular, irregular, because 1 week I might be away for a fortnight, you know, a week or a fortnight, and then I perhaps catch up with her again the following couple of weeks, and then I spent quite a lot of time in the bush, more than anything, more than sitting around a desk in Alice Springs.
So apart from that first time that, all those times that she'd invite you over to her hut for refreshments after tennis, did you know her socially, or was it mainly through...
Oh, no, it didn't. I'd say she didn't know anyone socially in Alice Springs.
Well, there were people who used to go and visit her and talk to her, like Reg Harris, for example.
Very good.
There were people like Reg Harris and Sheila.
I knew that Reg Harris used to keep up with her, and in fact, I think Reg even assisted her getting a refrigerator or something or other and what have you. So yes, there were people, but they were a small group probably who felt for her and used to go and see her, but there was nothing. Her biggest problem was that she would not accept charity, no way in the world. So it was very difficult for anyone to get to know her.
Did you like her? Did you like her as a person?
Oh, yeah. I appreciated her. I think I liked her in as much as I appreciated the fact that she'd still carrying the torch for this soldier from the First World War, and I'd, you know, come back out. I served 4 years in the Army in the Southwest Pacific during the war, and I think with that sort of background, you do have a bit of an affinity with the person who has suffered because of the war, that's
mm-hmm.
all.
How did other people, when they talked about Miss Pink, how did they talk about her? How did they refer to her? Did they...
Well, I think that there may have been a few that appreciated her, but on the other hand, I think it was just looked on as a character for the in Alice Springs. And at that time of the year or that period, there were an awful lot of bloody characters in Alice Springs who... You'd see a few of them in Reg Harris's book, where he's written about a lot of characters in the territory and a lot of legends and that sort of thing. There were an awful lot of men and women in that particular period that were characters, and Miss Pink was one of them.